If you want to take your Bibles, please, and turn in the book of Luke this morning. Going back to Luke, but looking at something specifically that, maybe you've never looked at or paid attention to or just sort of read it right through and not really stopped on it. Luke chapter 2, and I'm picking up the story in verse 39 and reading through to the end of the chapter because of what it says. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking that he was in their company, they traveled on for a day, then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Lord, we just want to come to you again as we come to your word so that it becomes more than just print on a page. Lord, for these are your words that you've given to us as a gift from heaven. And so, Lord, by your Spirit, the same Spirit who inspired the writers to put these things down exactly as you intended, would your Spirit speak them to our hearts, to my heart, Lord, in what we're going to look at this morning, that our lives may fully glorify you. Lord, thank you that we can come together. We have this place to come and worship you, to come and fellowship together in, to come and grow in the Lord. And Lord, I pray for those who are not able to be here, just for various reasons, for your hand of goodness upon their lives, for our government once again, Lord, for the hand of the Lord to be evident within the decisions of our government, that they may be leaders who serve the people truly. So Lord, again, we come to your word and ask your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't want to tackle the part about it where he's 12 years old. For the first time, he's coming to the feast of the Passover. And how could he get lost? Because then, when you traveled in a huge entourage. It mentions friends and relatives. So they traveled, you traveled in group. I mean, who needed Facebook when you saw these people's faces every day? You could actually talk to them. Didn't have to text to them, didn't have anything, because they were there in a large group. And so how could they leave and not find that Jesus was in their midst? Well, because it's Uncle Harry had him. Or he's with Aunt Ethel. Or he's with, you know, Tom down the street, who is our best friend, who traveled with us as a group. And so that's how they could go for a day. And then kind of, well, did you have Jesus? Did you see Jesus? I mean, I think we're missing Jesus somewhere. So I don't want to get into that. That's how it happens. That's how it happens. So, however, I want to look at the two verses that are the bookends on this section, because they both kind of say the same thing. Verse 39, the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom and the grace of God was upon him. And then verse 52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So I want to camp on those because they both say somewhat the very same thing. And so it's repeated about Jesus in his growing up years from a child to be a man. Because the next time we see him, he's much older. So, to me, these verses speak about balance. Balance in life. Because they speak to four different areas of our lives as human beings. Now, by nature, we're unbalanced people. By nature, it's easy to go to extremes. It's easy to just sort of find a hobby horse and just stay on it, and that's your point of identity. That's what you're known for. Oh, don't talk to so-and-so because sooner or later, for an example, politics. Don't talk to so-and-so because sooner or later, the conversation will get around to politics. It's just a matter of time. You know what I mean? Somebody's laughing. You know exactly what I mean. You have this. Because your thinking is kind of out of balance. So there's balance here. Our professor, main speaker, well, professor, teacher, at Prairie Bible Institute, now Prairie Bible College up in Alberta, where Nancy and I went to and met from there, Ellie Maxwell, even when he was an old man, he had, and he's in his 70s then, he had a teaching platform, and on the front of it was an iron railing with a vinyl top on it. An iron railing so that you just didn't accidentally, because it was about a 4-foot drop, no steps on the front. So you just kind of, if you're going off, you needed to jump. So he used to, in some of our classes, it was one of the Maxisms from Maxwell, keep balanced. And just to show how hard it was in his old age, he would get on top of the railing with now 8 feet on one side and 4 on the other. He would get on top and he would do a balancing act of just how hard it is to keep balanced in front of his classes. So when he did that, he definitely had everybody's attention. Because, you know, he's not a youngster anymore. Keep balanced. Four areas here. First of all, and I'm going to start with verse 40 because it's the first thing mentioned there. Physically. In the area of life to have balance. Physical. For our bodies. Because our body, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the scripture says it's a temple of the Holy Spirit. Like God actually resides in us by his Spirit. Not just an idea, but the person, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, in our physical bodies. So body, because it's mentioned here. And he grew and became strong. And then in verse 52, grew in wisdom and stature. Our bodies, balance. Keeping a balance in that. With things like rest. Rest, at times when rest is needed. I told Randy before, there's a slide, we won't put it up, but it was in the slides going through, with a cartoon in a church, they're doing their post-holidays breathing exercises, where everybody is just laid flat out on the side, because they're just all tired. Then we wouldn't want to do that here, because the temptation would be, if you lay on your side too long, and if it's too quiet, you might want to take a nap. So if you need a nap, take one later. But rest. Did you know in the Old Testament, in 1 Kings chapter 19, there was a time when the prophet Elijah, who had just been, if you know your Bible, Mount Carmel against all the false prophets, and God brought down fire to show all the people Elijah is the man who speaks for God. It's quite a story. Actual fire from heaven came down in the sight of everybody. Now, after that happens, the very next thing is, he finds out that the queen, whose name is, and you'll connect with this name, you've probably heard it in other contexts, Jezebel. Okay? Don't name your daughters Jezebel. The queen was after his head, and even after that tremendous victory for God, he takes off on the run, goes out into the wilderness, finds a place, and basically says to the Lord, quote unquote, I've had enough. I'm ready to die. Because he's been on such a high, now he's down on such a low. I mean, he's like pastor's Monday morning feelings. I've had enough. I'm ready to die. Take my life, Lord. That's it. That's 1 Kings 19. If you look it up, it's a great story. And what happens is God sends an angel and he falls asleep. And God sends an angel, wakes him up and says, here's food for you. Bread, water. He eats it, feels better, goes back to sleep again. And the angel wakes him up a second time and says, you have more ahead of you, so here's more bread, here's more water. Eat more. So the balance, because physically what we do in our lives affects us in every other way. You ever been tired on a Sunday morning because you stayed up till 1 o'clock the night before? And then it's like, I come to church, I'm really not getting much of this. You know, why? Because I'm so tired. This is for physical people. Except if you're in college when you stay up at 1 o'clock all the time. Then it's part of your routine. But we're physical people. So to take care of ourselves, physically balance. Rest, proper exercise. You know, a decent diet. Get past the holidays for the diet. Survive them and get back to some healthy food again. You know what I mean. Avoiding that which would harm you. Avoiding bitterness and stress. Undue bitterness, undue stress, because that affects us physically. All those things, physically. I mean, Jesus grew and became strong, and he grew in stature. 1 Timothy 4:8. Now, physical training, exercise, is of some value, it says. It's God made us with bodies, physically. Secondly, though, mentally, wisdom. He was filled with wisdom, verse 40, and verse 52, and Jesus grew in wisdom. Isn't that amazing? Jesus, the Son of God, and he's growing up. And he's growing in wisdom. You think, well, wait, even as a kid, shouldn't he have all the answers? Because there he is, 12 years old, he's in the temple, he's listening and talking with the learned religious leaders in the synagogue, the Jewish place of worship, listening, asking questions, making comments. And they're just going, what school did this kid go to? He's holding his own. So you think, well, doesn't Jesus know everything even as a kid? I don't know. It says he grew in wisdom. What's wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to view life from God's perspective. It's not knowing all the answers. It's not having the intelligence to go on who wants to be a millionaire and walk away with a millionaire. Who wants to go on whatever show and just walk away from it because you got all the answers. You've studied every trivia thing there is to know about everything. And that's been your life. Come on, my kids would say, get a life. It's not that. It's being able to have a perspective on life that is from God's viewpoint. Wisdom. I mean, there's a lot of things that call for wisdom and balance in the Bible. Balance and wisdom. Proverbs 4:27, in kind of following the Lord's direction, it says, and do not swerve to the right or to the left, but keep your feet in front of you. In other words, balance. I like Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5. I can't quote it. But you'd think it's a contradiction because one verse says something like, do not answer a fool according to their folly or else you'll be like them. And the next verse says, answer a fool according to their folly, lest they think too much of themselves. Wait, it says, do not answer a fool, answer a fool. So when do you know when not to say something and when to say something? Ah, wisdom. Wisdom. When to know what to say or what not. I like Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And without going there, all of you old people that were into the old-time vintage rock music and all that, you know, the birds turn to every time, to every season. You know, there's a time for this, there's a time for that. There's a time for this, there's a time for that. A time to this, a time to that. Well, that's where they got it out of, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And the things are self-contradictory. There's a time to scatter stones, there's a time to gather. There's a time for war, there's a time for peace. There's a time for love, there's a time for hate. So how do you know what the time is for what, in what? Wisdom. If you can try to ascertain God's perspective. But it's balance. It's an expression, a great expression of balance of life. Because you don't have to do everything all the same time, all the same way, in every circumstance. You don't have to. Because the scripture says sometimes there's a time to answer, sometimes there's a time not to. How do you know? Wisdom. Wisdom. Now, how do you get wisdom from God primarily? This. Howard Hendricks, Dr. Howard Hendricks of Dallas Theological Seminary says, if you stop reading, you'll stop learning. Read it, the scripture. I mean, that was, as much as we know, Jesus' primary source of his growth in wisdom was from the Old Testament scripture that he had. Man shall not live by bread alone, physically, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And when you read the Bible, read it slowly and carefully. I don't know if you go through the Daily Bread. And January 1st, Daily Bread was pretty good because it was about a new hotel, or a hotel in Singapore, decided that they'd get more customers in if they would put a time limit on you can eat all you want in our buffet for 30 minutes, and if you can eat all you want, at that point you'll pay half price. Eat all you can in 30 minutes and pay half price. It's kind of like way back in Canada in bowling with those really small Canadian bowling balls that don't wrench your arm out of its socket. Some of the bowling alleys would be like, from this time to this time, you pay one flat fee for all the bowling you want. So you go with Nancy's family, it's like, okay, we're done with that game, let's play another one. Because the more games you play, the cheaper it is per game, because you've already paid your flat fee in a time frame. And so one diner said, I lost my decorum, stuffing my mouth with yet more food. I lost my civility. And I lost my appetite for the rest of the day. So severe was my heartburn. Unquote. You know, it's what happens if you want to glut yourself for half an hour. You're going to pay for it later. Wisdom. The point of it was, no spiritual junk food to just read through the Bible and it's like, I'm done with that kind of thing. No supersize me junk food to the Christian. That was the point of that. Wisdom, mentally, to the mind. The third, in favor with God and the grace of God. And in favor with God, verse 52. Okay, again, the mystery of the scripture. This is Jesus, the Son of God, as a youngster growing up, and he's growing in favor with God. How can the Son of God grow in favor with God? I don't know, but that's what it says. That's what it says. So the other element is the third, spiritually. Spiritually. In favor with God. Now, there's a couple of things, practical things, that compose spiritual growth. And I've been reading through the book of Hebrews and came upon in Hebrews chapter 10, since holidays are all about food, well, not really, but food's a major part. There's five types of lettuce in Hebrews chapter 10. So if you know if it's lettuce, it's got to be healthy for you. It's there, Hebrews chapter 10. Listen to this. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another unto love and good deeds. Let us not give up the habit, not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let us draw near to God. Let us hold to the hope we profess. Let us consider how we can encourage one another. Let us consider how we can spur each other to good works and deeds. And let us continue meeting together. See, there's practical things out of that. Let us worship, pray, continue with thankfulness, serve, be a part of the church. Let us keep meeting. Let us. It's interesting that Jesus, Luke chapter 4, it's just a couple pages further on. Luke 4, at verse 16, he went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, and Luke adds these words, as was his custom. Jesus went to the synagogue. He didn't have to go there to be saved, obviously. But he made a custom of coming to a place that was recognized as a place in their culture and society to worship God. And he says, as was his custom. Some translations may be, as was his habit. He made a habit of that. It's a good thing. Good thing. Why go to church? Well, there's a number of things that happen. But I think one primary thing that happens in church without anybody really knowing it is that it shows that my Christianity, I am a Christian, and part of that is that I belong to others as well. I feel, if for those who would just like, I have my church on the internet, and so I'm a Christian and I go to church on the internet. It's like, there's too easy a temptation when it's me and Jesus Jesus and me that turns into me and Jesus. It's too easy a temptation. In heaven, there will not be any lonely places. as a believer, the scriptural truth is, I've been called to be a part of a body of Christians. Now, Pastor Gary, you're saying I have to go to church to get to heaven? No. But I'm saying that Jesus said, love one another. And all that Paul writes under the Spirit of God about the one another's of those who are believers, one another's. In other words, how our lives affect each other and interact with each other and connect with each other. So that I'm a Christian, but I'm a part of the body of believers. I'm just not the lone ranger Christian guy type of thing. As was his custom for Jesus, spiritual growth. And lastly, we read that he was filled with wisdom. The grace of God was upon him. And in verse 52, he grew in wisdom, stature, in favor with God and men. Men. Others. Socially. In relationships. In favor with man. That the one who said, what are the two greatest commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Relationally. Others. That Jesus grew in favor with man. Which is, and hear me correctly on this, others is more than your family. Others is more than your family. I know it's a temptation like, I have my family, I belong to the Lord, I have my family, that's kind of it. Well, that's wonderful, but let the love of the Lord take your boundaries beyond that. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And Jesus grew in favor with men, relationally, in his society, in his culture. I mean, we know he's a son of a carpenter, and he is being, historians would say, as a son of a carpenter in that culture, he's being trained as a carpenter. That would be his training. And there's really no reason to doubt that. So in that, though, and through his family and just his exposure, before Jesus began his ministry, we would have all the proper assumption to think that he had exposure to people before that. Because he grew in favor with men in his interactings, in his day-to-day work life and everything else, in relating to people, in interacting with them. Because again, the one who said, and love your neighbor as yourself, I don't think he just kind of started that when he was 30 years old. So relationally. But see those four areas? Balance in life. Physical. Mental. Spiritual. Relational. Areas of balance. Balance in life. So that our lives can be balanced. I was going to read, but I'll read it at the end here. From Titus. Oh, my Bible's coming apart. Balance. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion, and to, this would be the positive, live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people who are his very own, eager to do what is good. And right before this, he says, in regards to employees, for them to behave themselves in a certain way so that in every way they can make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive. A balanced life. To have a life that's in balance, to show that that which we believe about Jesus Christ, in the bottom line, is it's attractive. It's attractive. It's something that people like, wow, I'm not sure what it is about the kind of people, those people, but, you know, whatever it is, it's pretty good. Attractive. Balanced life. Now, are there some things that we can take to extremes about our lives? Yeah, of course. I mean, it's hard to, but you can't really read the Bible too much. You can't really pray too much. Can't really maybe serve too much unless it takes you out of balance in other things. We really can't avoid sin too much. Can be extreme about that. And we really can't love the Lord and people too much. So there are things that we have permission to be extreme about. But generally, overall, as Jesus grew, these four areas are mentioned. Balance in our lives. Balance. Lord, we just commit this to you. For my life, Lord, we're all so different as we are by nature. We'll get out of whack, out of balance. We will go to extremes, depending on our personalities and everything else, and our interests and all of those things. But Lord, your Spirit can touch us in a way, and we can respond to have just our whole life. Not to be holistic, but our whole life in balance, to show that what we believe and what we do in showing that belief about Jesus Christ, it's good. It's attractive. For your glory, Lord, by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.